Yesterday at the end of class, the question was asked by Gurudas Prabhu about reading the later parts of Bhakti Rasa, or Nectar of Devotion, which is difficult to understand. And I quoted about Goshite, Goshite, by rubbing and rubbing the sandalwood, the smell becomes better. Here's another example, also from Chaitanya Charitamrita, about not understanding the extraordinary pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but if you go on hearing and hearing, you can gradually understand and develop love for Krishna also. Jeva nahi bhujhe keho, shunite shunite sheho, kiyadbhut chaitanya charit, Krishne upajibe priti, janibe roshe riti, shunile boro hoy hit. If one does not understand in the beginning but continues to hear again and again, the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes will bring love for Krishna. Gradually one will come to understand the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis and other associates of Vrindavan. Everyone is advised to continue to hear over and over again in order to greatly benefit. Now, I'm just going to translate that a little differently as those who know more than one language, especially if the languages are quite different, know that certain terms or passages can be translated differently you'll find out why. If one doesn't understand but goes on hearing and hearing, how wonderful is the pastimes and character of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the result will be that one's love for Krishna will arise and one will understand the Roshe Riti, the ways of rasa, or the workings of rasa. So particularly because you're asking about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and by hearing one is greatly benefited. So there's a further answer to that question. And then we can continue reading qualities of Krishna from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If I can find it, let me see. Ah, yes, here it is. All right. So, start at number 7. Yeah, number 7 is Adbhuta Bhashavit. Krishna is knowledgeable in knowing wonderful languages. And the verse says that one who knows various wonderful languages, such person is called learned. The languages of various countries, and of Sanskrit and Prakrita language. And Prakrita means languages other than Sanskrit. Vernacular languages means languages like Hindi, I suppose. And also, Jiva Goswami says at the end of this verse, the word cha indicates that he also knows the languages of animals. So Krishna also knows the languages of animals. Gajendra spoke to Krishna that was in Sanskrit. That's fair. What to speak of Krishna? Even Prabhupada, that there was that one time Yamuna, one of his disciples, walked into the room in Radha Damodar temple and Prabhupada was talking to a monkey. making noises like the monkeys. So, and after the monkey left, Yamuna asked Prabhupada, what were you saying? Prabhupada replied to Yamuna that, well, I was telling her not to bother us so much. So languages, yeah, animals also have languages. Maybe not exactly in the same way that humans have languages, but by certain noises they can understand among themselves also. Just like you can train bulls, but still, and it's not so practical, this is it. You can still train bulls to, bulls and dogs to act according to certain sounds you make, isn't it? So, to some extent, they have understanding of sound. Here's an example given, that Krishna speaks in the vernacular to the young gopis of Vrindavan. That means that although we find in the Bhagavatam that the words of the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan are recorded in Sanskrit, that actually they don't speak in Sanskrit, which is more fitting for uneducated village people. They don't speak in Sanskrit. They speak in their own rough dialect. And still you'll find the people of the cowherd community, like in Gujarat, they speak their kind of rough, what's considered a rough and not very cultured way of speaking. Although it's ultimately derived from Sanskrit. It has Sanskrit words in it, right? Just like Gujarati or any language is full of Sanskrit words. The original form wouldn't have all this Urdu and words like kalak, which is from English. Kalak. Yeah. Krishna speaks in Sanskrit to Indra and in their own languages to the animals, to the people of Kashmir, it said here. I wonder which Kashmiri people Krishna comes across in Vrindavan. And to the parrots. Yeah, the parrots, yeah. How amazing. How has he become expert in all these languages? The question is there, because the people of Vrindavan, they think of Krishna as one of them, and usually a child can speak just the language that the people around him speak. You don't expect the child to speak in Sanskrit if he's not exposed to that. What to speak of the languages of the animals? So Krishna speaks all languages. Apabhramsha. He spoke to the animals, including the cows and the buffaloes. And apabhramsha means a very low form of colloquial language. Just like in Hindi, there are so many examples of apabhramsha. They take the Sanskrit word, they mess it up, and that becomes Hindi. Just like nagna in Sanskrit becomes nanga in Hindi, like that. So, Satyavak, a name for Krishna, means, it's obvious what it means. What does it mean? Satyavak, one who speaks the truth. So, and the explanation is given, a person is called the speaker of the truth, whose words are never false. So Satyavak can mean that. It means one whose words are never false. And it also means one who speaks the truth. It's not exactly the same thing. Do you see the difference? One who speaks the truth, I mean, just like Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, that is the truth. It's exposition of Satya Darshan, or the philosophy of the truth. But one whose words are never false means he says something and it will come to pass. Or he doesn't tell lies. So it's a subtle difference is there. Although, here's an example. After the battle of Kurukshetra was over, Kunti said to Krishna, Krishna, you said to me that before the battle you told me, I will bring your five sons back to you from the battlefield, alive and with great honor. So, that was before the battle, who could say that? You go into a battle, you have a very good chance of getting killed. But Krishna assured Kunti, I will bring your sons back. And he did. So Kunti said that even though the sun may become cold and the moon may become hot, your words will never be untrue. Of course, in Vrindavan, the gopis tend to doubt Krishna. And even Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati, that you announce, Arjuna, that my devotee will never perish. So why does Krishna say this? There are so many statements that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't tell Arjuna, you say it. But in this particular one, Krishna tells Arjuna, you should say it. Because from Krishna's point of view, this is the most important statement. That my devotee will never perish means I will protect my devotee. So Krishna tells Arjuna, you announce it, because others may doubt. Where does this verse come? This comes after Apichet Sudara Charo Bhajate Mamananya Bhak Sadhureva Samantavya Samyagvya Vasitohi Saha Kshipram Tamat Pavati Dharma Ma Shashvat Chantim Nigachati Konte Apratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. This comes when Krishna says that even if one behaves most abominably, if he is engaged in unalloyed devotional service, he is to be considered a sadhu. Or rather, a more correct analysis of what Krishna says is that one who considers someone saintly or properly situated, even if he performs wrong actions, if he's engaged in pure devotional service, that person is considered a sadhu who considers in that way. And the devotee, even though he is, someone's watch is running 8 minutes fast. A funny habit of putting the watch on the wrong. You have a watch to have the right time, to tell you the time, and people deliberately put it on the wrong time. I can never understand that. Huh? Is it? It's a useless watch. It only gives an approximate idea. So, the devotee quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. So it doesn't seem very likely that we find that in Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere, we find that as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes, summarizing the situation, that swakarma phala bhuk puman, everyone has to experience or enjoy or suffer the results of their activities. But Krishna says, no, for my devotee, that he's never destroyed. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this, that some may think, well, that's only, you know, it's Krishna saying that. You can't trust him. He's from Mathura. And everyone knows people from Mathura. They tell lies and they behave most abominably, even now. So, And Krishna himself, the gopis call him Kitava Yoshita, one who cheats women. And they gave an analysis of Krishna, not only in this life, but in previous lives also, how he mistreated Shorpanakha for a minor offense, and then how he had her disfigured, and then as Vamana, Bali Maharaj was so treating him nicely, but Krishna so much mistreated him. And then Putana, she was a woman, and Krishna also, even from the very beginning of his life, Krishna was mistreating women. He killed Putana. So he's cheating people, he's killing, he's mistreating women. This is the gopi's vision. But the proper vision, are we from the tattvic point of view? The gopis are speaking from the point of view of love, in which in love, love is blind. One doesn't see things as they are. One sees differently. So, but according to the tattvic point of view, or the understanding things as they are, Krishna is always truthful. Then, when Krishna came as a Brahmana, dressed as a Brahmana before Jarasandha, so that was an act of deception, right? But when Jarasandha asked, "Who are you?" Krishna told him directly. He said, "Well, this is the second son of Pandu. This is the third son of Pandu. And as for me, I am your old enemy, Krishna, the one you fought against so many times." So Krishna was truthful in that instance also. Another, Priyangvadaha, speaking in a pleasing manner. And this is elaborated on as speaking in a pleasing manner even to those who have offended. So Krishna speaks truthfully and he speaks pleasingly. As is mentioned, the well-known saying in Manu that is recorded, Satyam Bruyat Priyam Bruyat Ma Bruyat Satyam Priyam. One should speak truthfully and pleasingly and not speak that which is true but unpleasing. But Krishna here has been mentioned as speaking in a truthful manner and in a pleasing manner, even to persons who have offended him. And here's an example that Kaliya was a big rascal, actually. I mean, he was killing the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He was terrorizing Vrindavan. But Krishna very properly punished him. But then afterwards, he apologized that, "Oh, king of the snakes, though I have afflicted you, do not find fault in me. For the good of the cows," not for my own sake, but to protect the cows who are worshipable even by the demigods, "you should get out, go away from here." Then Bhavadukha, another, again, related with Krishna speaking, it means he's very eloquent. Eloquent means, what's the, Vakachatura is another way of saying, very expert in speaking. Speaking which is pleasing and speaking in a clever manner, speaking cleverly. So an example of speaking in a pleasing manner, actually everything we find that Krishna says is very pleasing. When we read Bhagavad Gita, everything we read about whatever Krishna says. So, comment is made that, "O friends, whose heart will not be stolen by the words of Krishna, sweet with clear, soft pronunciation. So it's not only what Krishna says, but his very voice, the way he says it, is his very voice is very pleasing to hear. An elixir of intense nectar in the placement of each syllable, the way Krishna speaks, each syllable is very pleasing. A medicine, a rasayana, that means a tonic, giving life to the ears of all people by its sweet intonation. So speaking in a pleasing manner, the very sound of Krishna speaking is very pleasing. And there are some languages which by their nature, just by hearing them, they sound very pleasing. Sanskrit, if spoken, sounds very pleasing. Bengali, not that which is, you hear it, shell the station so much, but especially among Vaishnavas, and especially the songs, sounds very nice. I remember the first time I heard German people speaking among themselves, I thought they were like arguing or something and speaking roughly, and I asked them, they were both English speaking, also the devotee, I said, something wrong? I said, no, we're just talking, that's all. The very sound of the language is very rough. It's good for inciting people to fighting, I would guess. You see you could say that's the most extreme example. There are still films of the famous Adolf Hitler giving lectures and infamous. And it's the language is, it's very good, as I say, for inspiring people to fight. It's not a sweet language. Hindi also, if it's spoken Shuddha Hindi, it sounds a little bit nice, but in general, I don't find it a very sweet language, not compared to Bengali or Maithili, or if you've heard Maithili spoken also. They're very sweet languages, but Krishna, anyway, he speaks. You hear some people, they just the tone of their voice and the way they speak is very sweet. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, what do you think, those who've heard him speak? Just the very tone of his speaking is very sweet and pleasing, generally. I mean, he gets angry sometimes. Marathi is sweet, is it? Okay. You know Marathi? Or you just heard it? You're in Bombay, where? There's many Marathi people there, or it's just on the border, is it? Border of Maharashtra. I've been there, but I don't know. Marathi, I never noticed it as being particularly sweet. But maybe compared to Gujarati, I don't know. An example, and then speaking skillfully. Now, Krishna is very skillful in speaking. One way in speaking is, they're all this vaga chaturi, or skillfulness in speaking, can take all kinds of forms. One is changing the hearts of your enemies or people who oppose you. You can speak in such a way that they come around to agree with you. Extinguishing doubts, if people have doubts, you come to them and you speak in such a way that their doubts are dispelled. Speaking in an authoritative manner, that when people hear a person speak, that they accept, oh, all right, that's important. Just like economical, that means economical, don't speak much, not more than required. Authoritative and economical. I've heard that in the GBC meetings, Shivaram Swami doesn't speak much, but when he speaks, people take it very seriously. Some people, they speak a lot, they go, they're always speaking, and no one even cares to listen to them except themselves. They hear themselves. Other people don't speak much, but when they speak, it's meaningful, and therefore people take it very seriously. Endowed with many meanings, that definitely, you find Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, what he speaks, this is so much in everything that he says, is unlimited. So, these are a few more of the qualities of Krishna. And I'll finish there today. Are there any questions? Yeah, okay.
How to combine satyam, vriyat, priyam, vriyat. Speak the truth and also pleasing, because for example, distribution, we don't speak truth. I mean, we speak the truth, but not... Or even among devotees.
In reply to this question or a similar question, Prabhupada said that, well, if you just glorify Krishna, then there's no question of not telling the truth, however much you exaggerate. So you can, some people, they don't want to hear about Krishna directly. That's most true in the Western countries, definitely, isn't it? But you can say things like that, this book will help you to get peace of mind, to get free from tension, make your personality development. It's all true. Maybe not in the way that they expected it, but it's all true. So there's an example. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.